Okay, this is continuing with Blaschot on 9th July, 76. So you went to University of Michigan, where Haddock had a similar
instrument. Just to visit, yes.
Similar instrument.
Similar instrument than for Davis. And so I was able to compare the two spectra and see that there was something unusual in the sun. And this, I think, happens one or two times every solar cycle. Now the Dutch had very nice example of this kind of mission, but at that time it remained some curiosity.
I see.
And even now, from the plasma physics, is not yet explained.
As you toured around these various American observatories, what was your feeling as to how things were being done there relative to solar radio astronomy in France?
I think at that time the radio astronomy in state was not very much developed. There are a few groups working at the sun, and one in Ithaca, in Cornell University.
At Cornell, yes,
in
right.
Cornell,
right.
One in Boulder, which was quite active, and two Australians at that time were beginning to work in the state, one group in Caltech with John Bolton,
yeah.
And the group by Roswell.
Right.
But relatively, I think, compared to even to France, but mainly to England, Cambridge, or Australian, the radio astronomy state was not very much
ready. But what specifically about the solar radio astronomy at these different groups, how did it strike you relative to the French? I mean, I guess all of them was all spectrograph work, is that correct?
Whereas yes, as a spectrograph, it was very interesting. I think the Fort Davis work was very nice at the time. It's a little duplicate what has been made in Australia, so it did not observe very many new kind of birds because the panering work has been made
right.
in Australia.
Right.
But their instrument had worked quite well and had a nice.
But when you were looking for confirming data or supplementary data for your non-stay work.
Yeah, this helps us very much
because
we have no dynamic spectrum in Europe.
Right, but at that time, did you look at the Australian work most of the time, or
no? I'm more relation with the States than the Australia. Also, because we can observe, we have some overlap in time.
Yes.
Sometimes we can observe the same burst.
Right.
And with the Australian, it's too far away.
Yeah, that's a very practical point. Right.
Yes. Especially the fourth, this work on Alan Maxwell and Fred Haddock.
Right.
It was the same burst at the same time.
Right.
We observe in Lancet and the state. And this would have been impossible with Australia.
Let's see. I see that you went to the first COSPAR meeting in Nice.
Yes.
In 1960 and talked about these sort of things. Now, COSPAR is space science, right?
COSPAR is space science, yes.
And were you feeling like you were having radio astronomy should be talking more with the space scientists, that there should be more of a link there, or what was
yes, your... because especially at that time, it was one discovery of the space science was the Van Allen belt in the particles from the sun and so on, and with the type 4 burst and what we observe, we have another mean to observe the particles in the sun. So we were very interested to know what kind of particles
right,
observed
right.
in space, and we have indirect observation, so we have to check that
right.
observation.
Did you make any useful contacts at that meeting for joint programs and this sort of thing?
No, direct, because all the events were published very soon at the time. Now it's more difficult. At that time, you can have a publication where you see your whole work. But,
I don't quite see what you mean. You're saying that the radio...
No, what we... mainly, what we need at the time is to compare our radio observation with some space or balloon observation at the
museum. I see.
John Winkler, for example, from Minnesota, very observation of cosmic rays with high-altitude balloons, and we need to compare...
And they published faster.
Yeah, it was published, but anyway, at that time that we met Singer, Winkler, space. At that time in France, we are no
spaces, rather, yeah. When was the date of the first real joint collaboration between ground-based solar radio astronomers and space science, or have there been such collaborations later in the 60s? Or is it just a matter of they design their experiments and you design yours and you use each other's data, but you
don't? Yes, I think it's more like that than the real cooperation.
And that's, well, maybe that's sufficient.
It was sufficient for what
you get the information.
The technique is so different. And
okay, well, I have only papers here up until 1960. And can you tell me a little bit about what you were doing in the early 1960s, up until 63 or 4 or something like that?
When I came back from the state, I worked, I think, a little more on the sun. And then I worked on the new, at that time, big radio telescope we already built in Nancy. This is a big
reflector. Right. What did you do for specifically?
Specifically, all the tests, calibration, the first part, because we began to build only 1/5 of what you saw.
Right.
Now, and we had to check everything to see if it was valuable to increase size. I spent 2 years working radio sources and Jupiter, and just to radio to calibrate.
I see. And which 2 years were?
It was 60 and 61.
That early? Really? Was it?
Yes, I think the first. I worked first in the techniques of the instrument, but I think the first observation with the first part of the dish, of the reflector, was in 1961.
Right. And what did these tests show, that things were working all right?
Yes, yes. In this way, we got the money to
build the entire... What was the concern? You know, this was much larger than Krauss's antenna, right? And
it was much larger. It was different. The main scheme is the same at the Krauss, but we made some change. The first was we gave up the ground reflector.
Why?
Why? Because at that time, this is not solar, but at that time there was one publication saying that, I don't remember who, had detected the 21 centimeter line from Cygnus.
Right, yeah. NRL, McLean.
Yes, so yeah. This was very exciting because we had received this proof wrong. So it was one of the ideas. We had building this large instrument, it was today 21 centimeter line in external galaxy. So this was a very small source, we did not need very high gain, but also it takes time to have a spectra. So you must track the source for a while. And this was impossible with Krauss scale, because you have the ground, and to tap a source, you have to change the position of the focus.
Oh,
and
yes.
When you move in two directions, in height and level, and you cannot do this if you are close to the reflecting plane.
Yes, that's right. I hadn't thought about that. Right.
So to be able to track a source, we have the reflecting
plane. Right. And
then...
This therefore means that you have more ground contribution
yes,
to your receiver
yes.
noise.
This, after that, makes some trouble, but for tracking a source, it's much better. And then, as we wish to have a source, we cannot use a parabolic reflector because this can be used only in an axis.
Right.
So we use a spherical reflector.
Krauss's is parabolic?
It's parabolic.
Right. And how much chroma do you have?
Mm-hmm.
How much spherical aberration, I mean?
Yes, we have spherical aberration, but we succeed to decrease the spherical aberration using a Schmidt correction.
What exactly do you mean?
What exactly? You know that the spherical aberration is just that the rays in the central that are longer
right.
than the central part.
Yeah.
So we just the sphere here, spherical reflector, is made by 10 different panels.
Right.
And we change by a few centimeters the two external panels here.
So they're not exactly
spherical.
Exactly spherical. I see what you're saying.
No. It's not real that. This is the sphere is a perfect sphere.
Okay.
But here we have the plane.
Yes.
And it is on the plane. It's much simpler. This is fixed. Is a plane reflector
right.
which is made by 10 independent parts.
Right. Mm.
And then the two of each side
are at different distances.
Different distances.
So
and this makes a Schmidt correction like in a Schmidt telescope you have.
Yes, I see.
Exactly the same principle.
So the outside panels are a slightly different distance from
yes,
the.
Yes, outside the displaced, it's not exactly a plane, just to make a Schmidt correction.
And how much is it displaced?
I think this is 3 centimeter and 1 centimeter.
Hmm. Interesting. Hmm. What other differences were there from Krauss's scheme? What was the major differences?
Not very much, no. I think we use a much larger a diameter for the sphere.
Right.
Also,
so with these new things, there was some uncertainty as to if everything would work the way it should, and so you just...
Yes, and no, even the other, that was difficult to get all the way.
Yeah. So you had to demonstrate that it would
yes.
work with one panel. Right. And so that was 60-61, and then the full antenna began being built in 62 or so.
62, yes. 62, I think, but as chief quantity in 64.
Right.
But at that time, I come back on the sun.
Back on the sun and
the sun.
Working on a new array, I suspect?
Yes, the array at 400 MHz on the north-south branch.
But the north, another north-south branch, you mean? Or you said the first north-south branch was 1960?
No, the first version, because we had some problems that the main difficulty, now there will be much easier solution, but was shift, the phase shift of the antenna, because with a north-south array, the lobe is fixed,
mm-hmm.
and the sun will not go through the lobe. So we have to have
right.
a motion phase shift with the antenna.
Right.
And we use a mechanical solution which was not stable enough to have a good result.
I see.
And,
that's in the first array, you mean? The first north-south?
North-south version.
Yeah.
So we use the same antenna with another type of phase shift, electronic, which works much better.
Right. Now, but are you talking about still, is this 1960?
This was in 1961.
61, right.
61.
And then when you built the new array in 64 and 5, that was, of course, with electronic phase shifting.
Yes, the 400 megahertz array used 16 of the old antenna.
I see.
We put 16 on 169 and 16 on 408.
I see.
And it's after than Madame Peak, which work on this array, built new antennas for the 169. And now we have 32 antenna on 408 and 16 on 169. Plus other.
Well, that about covers what I have. Can you think of anything else before 1963 or 4 that we haven't covered that you think should be mentioned?
From what I did, no. Well, it was the beginning when we observed some radio sources from with the array, a nice catalog of.
Oh, they started in the Paris Symposium, yes.
It's the Paris Symposium, yes.
I do have that here, yes. Yes. But then you didn't do any more radio source work?
No, because the sensitivity of the array was relatively limited. So I think this was the 50 sources.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
No.
That ends the interview with Washoe on 9 July 76.